This is the audio portion that goes along with our good friend Toucan Sam, Kellogg Corporation versus Toucan Golf Company, and it's going to introduce us to the concept of likelihood of confusion. So this is our trademark infringement. What kind of rights do I get if I have a protectable trademark? Well, the main right that I get is the right to exclude others from using marks that are likely to cause confusion with my mark. If you go to the slides, the first reproduction is of Section 32 of the Lanham Act. This creates the cause of action for likelihood of confusion for a registered trademark. So if I've registered a trademark, others can't use in commerce some similar mark on similar goods or services that are likely to cause confusion. The reason we're doing likely as opposed to actually cause confusion is we're trying to protect that consumer information. So we don't want those consumers to eventually get confused, because if we do that, we lose all of that goodwill, and we lose all of that information, kind of cost benefit that we get from trademarks. And so we're trying to cut that off at the pass. If you go to slide two, you have section 43 there. There we're, again, a cause of action for infringement, likely to cause confusion, but Section 43A is for unregistered trademarks. As we had mentioned a couple of virtual classes ago, you do not have to register at the federal level to get trademark protection. I just need to use the mark in commerce and have it be distinctive. If I've done that, I can actually pursue a Section 43A cause of action as opposed to a registered mark cause of action. In the end, particularly for the purposes of this class, the survey class, there's not a lot of difference between those two causes of action. And so going to slide three, we start again at section 32, because the Kellogg versus Toucan Golf case deals with registered marks. These are registered marks by Kellogg to cover either the word mark Toucan Sam or the picture marks of our good friend Toucan Sam. Here. Well, I don't know, maybe he's my good friend, not necessarily everyone's good friend. And so the question becomes is, how do courts determine whether someone else's unauthorized use, and here would be a junior user, because I need to have priority to pursue a cause of action. So someone after I've started using the mark in commerce and registered it starts to use a similar mark on similar goods, when will we find that that is likely to cause confusion, particularly because we're trying to find likely to cause. We're not going to ultimately need evidence of actual confusion, because we're going to try to get at this before it actually causes confusion. So if you go to slide four, here's some reproductions of the actual registrations that we had for Toucan Sam by Kellogg. These are the picture marks, and the reason we call them picture marks is they're for those pictures, as you see there. And you can see Toucan Sam has kind of changed over the years. And so what goods and services are they registering them to attach to? It's not shocking, right? Cereal-derived food products, cereal breakfast foods, snack foods. Essentially, the good that these are associated with is cereal. They also have the registration for the word mark Toucan Sam. And the alleged infringer, the junior user that at least Kellogg is claiming is causing confusion with their mark, is reproduced there in the bottom right. And this is from Toucan Golf. Toucan Golf Incorporated is in Ohio. They make golf equipment, putters, put that picture on other kind of golf goods, etc., balls, logos, etc. like that. And they've got this thing that they call the Golf Bird, or Lady Golf Bird, I guess. It depends on whether it's men's or women's clubs, although I don't think there's really any difference between the two of those. And so it's this usage that Kellogg is claiming is likely to cause confusion. And if we go to slide five, we start taking a look at the eight factors that the court here is going to take a look at, the Sixth Circuit, to determine whether there's a likelihood of confusion. And these factors are fairly similar depending on which circuit we go to. One of the big set of factors people talk about is the DuPont factors for likelihood of confusion. The Sixth Circuit's not going to call them the DuPont factors, because DuPont wasn't decided in the Sixth Circuit. They're referencing cases like Deddy's Junkie Music Store and Thermoscan, but the factors are very similar. and I want to talk through them both to figure out what do they mean in general sense, and then what do they mean as an application here. What usually happens is courts actually take a look at these factors and kind of weigh them together to see if in totality we think there's a likelihood of confusion or not. We're going to find out that at the base, the big two factors are going to be how similar are the marks and how similar are the goods or services that they're associated with, because the higher the similarity of both of those, the more likely we're going to have confusion. But we're going to find out that there are a lot of other factors you take a look at, etc. The first factor here on slide 5 is strength of the mark. This is strength of the senior user's mark. So this is Kellogg's mark. So if we go back up, right, we're talking about the strength of the Toucan Sam word mark or picture mark and how strong is it. And when we say strength here, basically we're trying to determine how distinctive is the mark, right? And so for cereal, Toucan Sam is certainly either arbitrary or fanciful. And the reason the court ends up saying it's fanciful, not arbitrary, is because it's not like we haven't, it's not a made-up name or a made-up animal. It's something that we have encountered, but it certainly is arbitrary. It certainly is fanciful in connection with these goods or services. The reason it's not arbitrary is because it's a word that we have seen before. And we've looked at at least seen pictures of these types of birds before, a toucan bird before. But that being said, regardless of whether it's arbitrary or fanciful, this sits at the most highest distinctive, right? It's inherently distinctive. They don't even have to prove secondary meaning. This is high strength of the mark. And the stronger the mark, the more likely we think there's going to be confusion because of how unique the mark is in the consumer's mind. And that means if someone's going to use a similar mark, it's more likely to cause that confusion because the consumer thinks it's already so unique and attached to that single source that's there. The second factor is the relatedness of the goods or services. So here it's a good that Kellogg attaches its mark to, cereal. And then the good that the accused infringer attaches its mark to, bag tags, golf equipment, etc. And at its base, these are fairly unrelated goods or services, right? I don't usually think of golf and cereal as something that I would see side by side on the virtual aisle, etc. But Kellogg starts to present other evidence to where they will use their mark, the Toucan Sam, as a identifier of a variety of golf-related goods and services. Golf balls, golf shirts, etc. I tried to provide links here. The links are actually kind of old. I apologize. But if you go to the good old interwebs, and if you search for Toucan Sam, and I'm doing right a golf balls, you'll actually see that Kellogg has produced these Titleist golf ball golf ball sets. And in those golf ball sets, you'll see Toucan Sam. And if you go to the second link that's there, the second link on that slide is a good link on slide 6. And you'll see a commercial, which I'll play, but I don't think I'm leaped through here. It's a Kellogg's commercial where Toucan Sam is on the links on the golf course, trying to sell his Fruit Loops. So it's not that general that Kellogg doesn't not associate Toucan Sam with golf, but that's not the main association. And so it's really, at least the court finds, that it's really tough to say that there would be confusion when the amount of golf-related stuff with Toucan Sam is so minimal compared to the alleged infringer's main usage there in that area. And so for that factor, the court determines that we don't really have much relatedness at all. Now, this looking at slide 6, you can see that the court kind of really links up the relatedness of the goods and services with the similarity of the marks. And if it turns out these guys are competing for sales, then we're going to just look at similarity, because we know that these are clashing in the market. And as long as we've got similar marks, we've got likelihood of confusion. If they're related but not necessarily competitive to each other, then we'll look at all the factors. I get a sense this is kind of where the court is here, but the court maybe is leaning almost to say that these are just completely unrelated goods, and so we don't even need to look at other factors, no likelihood of confusion. It does help Kellogg the fact that they've got at least a couple of instances where they're using Toucan Sam right with golf equipment in these instances. I think this is what forces the court to go through all the factors. Irregardless, it's really tough to find cases where courts don't just go ahead and march through all the factors. But if we're in a situation where the goods and services of the trademark owner and the alleged infringer are so different, it's going to be really almost impossible to find likelihood of confusion, because it would just be unlikely that the consumers would be confused between the two marks. So those are our strength of the mark, relatedness of the goods and services. Then we look at the similarity of the marks, where it turns out these things are directly competing. This is really the other big factor: how similar are the marks? And we look for similarity in appearance, sound, and meaning. And so here, right, the similarity of the marks, they're pretty similar, right? The toucans would go back up to slide four. They look fairly similar to each other. The one thing the court says is that, and they're not exactly the same, but close. The one thing the court says is, since we're dealing with a fanciful mark as opposed to an arbitrary mark, the similarity might not be the idea that Toucan Golf is trying to be similar with Toucan Sam, that more so Toucan Golf is trying to be similar with a toucan. Right, and they talk about this kind of relatedness to like the marks Camel for cigarettes or Apple for computers, etc. And so there, the similarity in appearance and meaning and sound, which would, sound's not as big of a deal here, doesn't have as much of an import because they're not necessarily both referencing each other. They're referencing an actual toucan that's there. But we do have similarity. And I think if here we had similarities in goods and services, it would be an easy likely to confusion case. So what about evidence of actual confusion? It always helps to have some really good survey evidence. And a lot of times I don't need much evidence of actual confusion. I just need a little bit, and I can really establish a likelihood of confusion. Marketing channels used. We're trying to get a sense here as to whether the consumer is going to get confused. And so, do they market in the same channels? Do they appear in the ads in the same magazine? Do they show up in advertisements for the same shows? I think here is where you see some difference between the two, right? That they really aren't going to market in similar areas. Toucan Golf and Kellogg. A degree of purchaser care and sophistication. And this is when we're talking about both, but more particularly when we're talking about the trademark holder. If it turns out that this is a good that the purchaser really looks at closely, tries to figure out what they're buying, less likelihood of confusion. The more that this is an impulse buy, more likelihood of confusion, right? And so here, we could have probably a really long debate as to whether people take great care or little care when buying their cereal, right? My gut is that those who like Fruit Loops are really good about distinguishing Fruit Loops from any other cereal that's there. So maybe there's high purchaser care. This is a cheaper product, and so we would think maybe there's potentially for less purchaser care. That being said, probably those that are going to buy golf equipment certainly put in a lot of care, and that would push away from likelihood of confusion. The other degree here is this idea of alleged infringer's intent. If they're trying to trade off the trademark holder, I doubt that's the case here. And finally, likelihood of expansion. This is the likelihood that the trademark holder might expand from doing the goods or services that they're doing to other goods and services that might be related. And here, it's not necessarily directly what they would do, but what similar types of people who make those products, how they expand. Because this is what the consumer's kind of been taught or understood. Stands. So, how likely is it that someone moves from a cereal manufacturing to manufacturing golf clubs, etc.? That's probably unlikely that kind of expansion takes place. And so, this would push against the idea of likelihood of confusion, etc. And so, there it'd be unlikely that we would find confusion in this case. In the end, the court finds no confusion. I think the big thing that's pushing against confusion here is the idea that these goods and services are not related, even though Kellogg has kind of touched in the golf space. And then you add into that the fact that the marketing channels are very different, that the degree of purchaser care, particularly, is really high on Toucan's side, unlikely to have a lot more expansion, no infringer's intent, and so on net, we don't have a likelihood of confusion in this case.